Good morning, everyone. It's a comfort actually to see that we are the only ones working in the mid of July. Welcome to this presentation of the second quarter results, be it watching us on the internet, listening on the phone, or being present here at the corner booth. We hope you all got the material we made available. And in addition to watching us on the internet and listening in, we have two other options available for you. One is the possibility to actually see this transition live on the mobile phone, provided there's a mobile phone that can take 3G or DTRS. Instructions on how to access this, both live or later as the broadcast recording, is available on our website, telenor.no or telenor.com. Secondly, you may pose questions during the whole session by writing in. Instructions on this is also available on the internet. We can't promise you that every question will be answered during this session, but we will take care of all the questions later. After a brief presentation here, there will be a Q&A session, as I promised, first from the audience here present, then from those listening in on the phone. And finally, of course, a possibility to do individual interviews here in the auditorium. All this said, let's get down to business then and have a look at our second quarter results. To present the figures, we have our CEO, John Fredrik Baksaas, and our Senior Executive Vice President and CFO, Torstein Moland, to present the results. So I yield the floor to you, Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, thank you, Dag. Good morning to all of you, also from me. On this second quarter reporting, I'm happy to present to you very strong figures for the second quarter of 2005. The revenue growth for the group as such is up 9%, which is up 3 percentage points compared to the first quarter this year. In this second quarter, we have had a record high subscriber growth in our consolidated mobile companies. And this takes the 100% customer base to 67.1 million subscribers, which represents the 28.2 million new subscribers over the last year alone. In this picture, our operations have either maintained or improved their market share in all markets. And as for Kyivstar on this quarter, the ARPU has increased. And this is a very significant characteristic for this quarter reporting for us. The revenue growth of 9% takes revenue to 16.5 billion for this quarter. EBITDA is 5.6 billion, which is the same as Q1 last year. The reduced EBITDA margin for this quarter compared to last year is a one-off in EDB of 300 million of profits last Q2 in 2004. It's the reduced margin of the fixed, and it includes the operation in Pakistan, which gives a negative EBITDA profile in the startup phase. Adjusted for the license cost in Pakistan in Q2 last year, CapEx is up 700 million due to strong market growth in several markets. Here we are. The record high subscriber growth continues with Kyivstar, VIP, and Bangladesh as main drivers. Consolidated numbers of subscribers has added more than 10 million subscribers in 1 year, 14.3 million to 24.8 million. Moving then into the separate operations, I start with the domestic market. The domestic mobile market remains strong, with a mobile revenue growth of 5%. The growth in numbers of SIM cards continues despite penetration above 100%. In the Norwegian market, we maintain the market share of 56% as for previous quarters. Non-voice revenues are fairly stable at 17%. And the number of handsets of 3G generation are still fairly low, estimated at 12 to 15,000 plus 8,000 data cards. After Telia Sonera seemingly will acquire ChessSense, we take it for granted that the regulator will re-evaluate the unfair termination regime in Norway, where Telenor still suffers from the lowest and regulated termination rate in Europe, when regulators in other markets level such differences, as done in particular in the Nordic countries of the last period. In Denmark, we are very happy for Sonofon's ability to improve. Basically, all parameters go in the right direction in second quarter. Revenues are up, ARPU the same, EBITDA is at 24%, and market position is strengthened with the market share at 26%. This takes Sonofon some good steps into the targets for the year. Kyivstar also reports a very strong quarter. Market parameters are performing very well. 1.7 million new subscribers have taken, and it also secures the market share at 47.8%. Revenue growth is impressive, 73% in this quarter alone, missed to the same quarter last year. And the DDoS customer base has now reached more than 3 million customers. Penetration has also moved above 40% level. This growth requires high capex as well, as the figure of 900 million for the quarter proves. The most important factor this quarter is still that ARPU has increased 10% from Q1 this year. This was by far the most frequent question raised last quarter. Now we see a positive effect, as stated at our Capital Markets Day. In Hungary, we experienced pressure on margins, both from competition, but most of all from higher volumes in the interconnection charges. Our market share is stable at 34%, and we have been able to strengthen the customer base by adding postpaid customers primarily. This has resulted in a revenue increase for the quarter of 8%. Yesterday's announcement on termination charges in Hungary closes the gap between ourselves and Vodafone, and it takes this into the right direction, as we see it. Digi. In Malaysia, Digi continues to deliver on its good performance from previous quarters. Revenue growth of 30% in local currency, a stable EBITDA margin, at the same time as Digi maintains its 22% market share. CapEx in this operation will rise in second half of 2005, as it's done for previous years. In Bangladesh, the growth from previous quarters is continuing. More than 750,000 new subscribers this quarter rises penetration to around 4%. Market share has for the operation increased to 62% this quarter. The strong growth in number of customers reduces ARPU for the quarter by 14% measured in local currency. This represents an ARPA level of $10. This, together with a provision for subsidies of governmental tax on handsets, pushes the margins to 47% this quarter. For the second half of this year, we target the 50% plus margin level for the rest of the year. In Pakistan, the quarter has been characterized by also Varid Telecom being introduced to the market. In parallel with this, we have added close to 500,000 new customers in the second quarter. By number of customers, we are now number three. ARPU is still very low and estimated at $3 per user. Revenues are consequently low at this stage, but we expect this to pick up as we improve and expand our network. As for our two major associated companies, we have the following comments. The strong market growth continues in Russia, and VIP has once more taken somewhat more than its fair share, improving its position with its now 35 million subscribers. This goes hand in hand with a marginal improvement of ARPU. In Thailand, DTAC seems to follow upon previous quarters and has reached an impressive customer base of more than 8 million. Moving then into our second business area, fixed services. My comments goes to Fixed Norway. The pressure on revenues is still there, but not as strong as in first quarter. We now see a level of 2 to 2.5% negative growth rate for the first half year. The factors leading to this are the same as before: migration to mobile and to broadband, and fewer lines connected, while at the same time broadband continues to grow. We assume that voice over IP will have a more significant impact in the periods ahead. The overall population of broadband connections fuels this. There are now close to 700,000 DSL broadband connections out there, and penetration is at 32%, still growing. Cable TV accesses and other accesses not counted. We maintain our market share at 60% level. The initiative of the regulator to reduce local loop and bundle price structure might lead to some marginal coverage becoming unprofitable, possibly reducing the 95% coverage target that we have set for the year end. The migration to voice over IP is now becoming visible. This slide shows total telephony market, including voice over IP over DSL with number series. About 70 to 80% of the customers leaving PSTN and ISDN migrate to voice over IP, which means that this focus will be strengthened by Telenor in the periods to come. Wholesale line rental seems to have stabilized. Ending my presentation today, I will give some comments on broadcast. In this quarter, broadcast accounts for 8.5% of our revenues. Revenues has for the business area built 5% in this quarter compared to the second quarter last year. Customer base are still growing and have reached for DTH 853,000 and for cable 619,000. At stable EBITDA margin, this is very satisfactory, while EBIT at the same time increases.
I'm sorry for that one.
And for broadcast, the quarter as such improves the EBIT figure to 19.6%. The analog shutdown commencing in Sweden this autumn represents an opportunity to work deeper into this market as we see it. With this, these comments, I will now leave the floor to Torstein Moland, who will take us through financials and the outlook for the year. Thank you.
Thank you, Fredrik. And before going to the financials, let us once again have a look at the highlights for this quarter. Telenor has a strong revenue growth of 9% in the second quarter. In addition, we have had a stronger growth in subscribers than this quarter. The quality of the subscriber growth was underlined by the fact that we had increasing or stable market share in all our mobile operations. There has been drawn a lot of attention to the ARPU development in Kyivstar. The second quarter ARPU is up from the first quarter, and we also expect the ARPU in Kyivstar to be about the same level in the second half of 2005 as it was in the second quarter. These are the reported figures for the second quarter. The strong growth in revenues is driven by the 18% growth in mobile revenues. I will comment on the EBITDA figures later. EBIT is influenced by increased depreciation as a result of our current high investments in infrastructure, and this relates especially to Kyivstar. The depreciation level in Kyivstar is also higher due to earlier than expected replacement of some network components. The improvement in net financial items is mainly due to gains on debt in subsidiaries outside Norway and gains from our sale of shares in Eutelsat. Telenor's net income was 2,041,000,000 kroner. Net income share per share grew by 23% from the second quarter last year to 1.19 kroner per share in this quarter. Even though it has no P&L effect, I will turn your attention to the value crystallization created by the listing of Inmarsat. Telenor owns, after the listing, 9.4% of Intelsat, and at the end of June, the market value of these shares was about 1.7 billion Norwegian kroner. EBITDA, before other incomes and expenses, was 5.564 million kroner. The reduced margin was primarily related to the launch in Pakistan, reduced EBITDA in fixed, and strong growth and increased competition in the mobile operations. Compared to the first quarter, however, the margin increases in spite of these factors. Capital expenditure was 2.9 billion in the second quarter. Adjusted for the purchase of the GSM license in Pakistan last year, capital expenditure increased by about 700 million due to a strong customer growth in our international mobile operations. we continue to have a strong focus on increasing the efficiency of the group, and special attention is to the cost challenges in our fixed business, as we highlighted in our Capital Markets Day in April. We expect a high CapEx in the second half of 2005, driven by strong subscriber uptake and the usual higher CapEx in Digi in the fourth quarter. Here we see the net debt development during the last quarters. The net debt was at the end of the second quarter 17.8 billion, an increase of 1.9 billion. The net debt to EBITDA ratio is 0.9. The increase in net debt is affected by the share buyback program and dividends paid of a total 4.2 billion. The share buyback includes purchase in the second quarter of 300 million and the cancellation of shares owned by the state of 1.2 billion. The income tax paid is mainly related to foreign mobile subsidiaries. Accruals mainly affected by changes in working capital. Our acquisitions of Bredbandsbolaget in Sweden and CyberCity in Denmark for 6 billion Swedish kroner and 1.4 billion Danish kroner respectively, including acquired interest-bearing liabilities, will be consolidated with effect from the third quarter and do not influence our net debt position in the at the end of the second quarter. We have bought 6.4 million shares in the market this quarter. In addition, we have an agreement with the government to buy shares in proportional amounts to keep the government ownership level constant. In total, we have bought almost 14 million shares in this quarter. The acquisition of Bredbandsbolaget and CyberCity will not influence our share buybacks, and we will continue to buy our buyback program also in the months to come. Then to the outlooks for the year. We maintain our outlook for 2005 as presented in our report for the first quarter. A continued high growth in revenues and EBITDA is expected for the total mobile operations in 2005. In fixed Norway, revenues and EBITDA is expected to decrease. The strong growth in the number of ADSL subscriptions is expected to continue. The related expected increase revenues from ADSL, in addition to the expected increased revenues from wholesale, is not expected to fully offset decreased revenues from PSTN and ISDN. Further cost reductions, in particular within fixed, will be implemented. In broadcast and other units, we expect EBITDA to improve in 2005 compared to 2004. High capital expenditure is expected for 2005, in which capital expenditure in proportion to revenues is expected to be in line with or slightly exceed the 2004 levels. A continuous increasing part of Telenor's revenues and results comes from operations outside Norway. Currency fluctuations will to an increasing extent influence the reported figures in Norwegian kroner. Political risk, including regulatory conditions, might also influence the results. Telenor expects that profits adjusted for special items overall will grow in 2005 compared to 2004. Thank you. And then, Doug, you take the floor again. Thank you.
Thank you, Torstein. Then we invite you to pose your questions. We have Mr. Buckles and Mr. Moran up here to answer your questions. In addition, of course, we have Morten Carlsen Sørby, head of Telenor Nordic, and Stig Edvard Iversen, head of Telenor Broadcast, present here in the auditorium if detailed questions need to be answered. So, as we are on the internet and live on the telephone, as a courtesy to those listening in, will you wait for a microphone before you pose your question? That will be very helpful. So we're ready to take your questions first from the audience here in the auditorium, and then we open up for questions on the phone. So maybe we should warm up. I have a question here from Bengt Melleru from Evli Bank about Pakistan. How do you define a customer in Pakistan, and how is the competition developing?
Yeah, the definition of a customer in Pakistan is the same as in the operations, across the operation as elsewhere. So that's there's no difference in a customer from that respect. The introduction of a new operator in any market is quite a happening, as it was for ourselves in the first quarter, and Varig came into the competition this period. So obviously the market is very active on looking at all the new offerings that both existing and new operators are offering. And this takes market activity quite high in such a phase of a market entry.
An additional question, are you taking any role in procuring or selling handsets in Pakistan?
We are not doing the handset distribution in Pakistan. That is done through other systems.
Okay, any other questions from the auditorium here? All required? Okay, then we call on the call conference host to introduce the questions from the call conference.
The first question is from Mr. Ulrich Rosner, company UBS London, please.
Thank you, good morning. I was wondering about the comments you made in the on the Kiwi Star ARPU in H2 being round about at the level in the second quarter. Is this a comment on the local currency ARPU or on the expectations for the ARPU in NOK? And then maybe following on to that question in more general, in your outlook, what sort of foreign exchange assumptions have you made, if any, or are you simply assuming the exchange rates are staying pretty much where they are today? Is that the basis for your forecast? Thank you.
As for the first part of the question, the answer is simply yes. The comparison is in local currency.
Okay. And in our outlook, we have, as we are maintaining our outlooks as presented in February, we are. It's based on if true. Both if you compare to the currency values we had in February, and it's also true to the compared to the currencies we have, currency ratios we have today. So, but if there is substantial changes in the krona value compared to the currencies, mainly the euro and the dollar zone, this will of course affect the actual outcome in the second half.
Thank you.
Next from Mr. Loyal in Morgan Stanley, please.
Hi there. It was the same sort of question as you were curious about, but more on the growth. If you're assuming flat ARPU in the second half in local currency, could you give us a rough idea of the sort of growth in subscribers? I'm presuming you expect a substantial slowdown to get there. Could you just give us a bit more background on the subs growth? And secondly, on Sonophone, the ARPU is up very strongly. Why is the growth in minutes of use so strong in the quarter? Is it because of cleanups in the subspace, or is it because of promotions? Could you explain the move a little bit more clearly? Thanks.
I take it that the first part of your question was related to Kyivstar.
Yes, sorry, it was, yes.
Yeah. Well, it's not very easy to be exact on how the market will behave in the periods to come. So we will, of course, measure our own doings in the market and the both wanted effect as well as having a look at the market position that Kyivstar at any point will have. So to be sort of more explicit than that, it's very difficult. As for Sonofon, your indications on sort of a cleanup in the customer base for previous quarters, that's correct. And we have also been able to attract, to a larger extent, postpaid customers, both in last quarter and this quarter, which benefits this increase in means of use and consequently also raising ARPU.
Next Commissioner Hugley in the company Lehman Brothers, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. A couple of quick questions. First of all, reading through the release, it mentions an accrual adjustment that had an impact on the fixed EBITDA in Norway. Could you quantify that for us? And also, a more general question, could you share with us your thoughts around the implications of low revenue per minute in some of the developing mobile markets? On the analysis I've done, you're looking at rates around 5 euro cents a minute in Bangladesh. What are the implications of that in terms of long-term CapEx to revenue? Should we be looking at 20% over the longer term? Thanks.
Yeah, the accrual item on the fixed services is between 40 and 50 million Norwegian crowns. As for the second part of your question, relating to how ARPUs will develop and how that will sort of pour into CapEx utilization in the period to come, these are also difficult equations to be very exact upon. But there is, of course, a trade-off here between the marginal customers and the marginal CapEx, which we try to monitor as sensibly as possibly we can. And up to now, we feel that we have a good balance in our operations when it comes to that trade-off.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Mellerud in the company LV Bank.
Just to follow up on the subscriber question there, is this activated customers that is 800,000 that you're reporting, or they have you signed up? And secondly, could you give any clarity regarding the VimpelCon and the meetings that we've held now in August and your relation there with Alpha Bank in Russia?
I take it that the first comment in your question was related to Pakistan.
Yes, it was
Pakistan. The 800,000 is all customers that have received a SIM card package and has used part of that package. It does not count customers that do not activate the package as such. When it comes to the question related to the relationship between ourselves and the Alpha group in VimpelCon, our comments will at this stage be quite limited. We have a disagreement on the future development of the strategies of the company. We have a disagreement when it comes to how VimpelCon will expand and the parameters around such expansions. And there has been a process through the AGM. There has been a election of a new board, and we will use the base that we now have to communicate and discuss the future steps around VimpelCon and its doing in the meetings and areas that we have ahead of us.
just to follow up, will you be prepared to respond to Alpha Bank's invitation, so to speak, to create some kind of larger group in the Russia or greater Baltic Rim area?
Well, these are questions that we will not generally comment upon. But principally, any discussions, any idea will be evaluated by us, and the parameters around it will, of course, be evaluated at any point of time. And that relates not only to these questions, but also other questions.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Kalman in Deutsche Bank, please.
Hi, good morning, Edelman. I have a couple of questions, please. The first one is on the KIPS or ARPU again. I was wondering if you could please remind us what the sequential increase was last year in local currency terms, so in order to compare it with the 11% reported this year.
Yeah, can I take that? The main reason for the increased ARPU in the second quarter is simply that we terminated the winter campaigns with free calls, so that we had a full second quarter with normal tariffs. And in addition to that, in the Orthodox part of Europe, first quarter is a relatively dull quarter. Going forward, as we have commented, we expect ARPU to maintain about the same level as in the second quarter. Mm-hmm. And this is not based upon an assumption of lower speed in the customer uptake. That could happen, but it's not a reflection of that. Of course, there are uncertainties about this. We don't know yet how the main competitor will behave during the second half of this year. We are not going to be the price leader or the most aggressive one in the marketplace, but if they are, we will have to follow. So there are uncertainties, but to our best judgment as of today, we expect ARPU to be stable.
Oh, no, what I was asking was, you reported this year that sequentially ARPU was up quarter on quarter, Q2 versus Q1, up 11% in local currency. I was wondering what that same number was last year, because my understanding is both the Ukrainian, and as you mentioned, the Ukrainian and Russian markets have a seasonal impact where Q2 and Q3 ARPU tend to be better than Q1 and Q4. So I'm just trying to see what's 11% pickup this year or how that compares with last year.
Yeah, there is a complete picture of the ARPU development in the quarterly written statement. And if you have further clarifications beyond that table, I'll be happy if you could return that question to the investor relations department.
Okay, I just one follow-up question. Now, you mentioned on domestic decline. This is the second quarter where we're seeing basically, you're saying that the cost base needs to be addressed. Are you in process of planning some form of a headcount reduction program? Are you in discussions with unions to take headcount out of that business at all at present?
Then we have to go back to our statements at the Capital Markets Day. At that day, we identified a 1.5 billion cost reduction exercise to be executed from that point of time until with the full effect of in 2007. So we are in the midst of preparing for that program. And that program is being discussed internally through the necessary processes that we have for that kind of exercise in Telenor for the time being.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Rogers in Goldman Sachs, please.
Morning. Just a few questions on mobile, please. Firstly, if I look at the minutes of use trends that you present in the presentation, We can see quite a sharp increase in Q2 in Norway, Denmark, and Hungary in particular. I just wondered whether there's anything particular that's gone on there, or whether it's just a function of the longer or more working days in the quarter this year compared to last year. And then secondly, on Bangladesh, you obviously highlight the fee on sale of SIM cards of 90 krona each. I just wondered how much of that is being passed on to the consumer at this point and how much is essentially being pushed through as a subsidy. Thanks.
Yeah, as for the minutes of use development, there are, of course, seasonal effects. In the Nordic countries, you have the Easter moving from first to second quarter, whatever year you're in, basically. And the Easter effect generally has an impact on minutes of use. And the same in Ukraine, the Christmas celebration going on in January is a period with the same kind of effects year over year. But to say very clearly what this seasonal effect is in percentages and be exact on that is quite difficult because we have seen variances from year to year, even though there are seasonal elements in it. Your second part, sorry, would you repeat that?
Just on Bangladesh and the SIM card charge. I guess this is different to the handset tax, if I understand correctly.
That's
right. You talked about the Capital Markets Day.
Yeah, that's right. The governmental tax and fee situation around handsets in and SIM cards in Bangladesh is a little bit unclear for the time being. And it is probably also a discussion between the industry at large and the authorities that will take place in the periods ahead of us. But we have provided for a specific part, a special part of this governmental tax in this year, this quarter reporting. We don't want to be specific on how much of the exact, how much the exact provision is.
When you say made a provision, is that on the handset tax or the SIM card unit unit charge that you talk about?
It's the handset, because the second one that you're talking about has
right.
has just recently been introduced.
And of the second one, the SIM card charge, is that entirely passed on to the consumer, or are you subsidizing part of that as well?
That's being, for the time being, passed on to the consumer.
Okay, thanks.
Next, Mr. Nielsen in Chevrolet.
Thank you, Peter Nielsen from Chevrolet. Two questions, please. One, again, on Bangladesh. You mentioned that you expect a return to the an EBITDA margin of 50% or above in the second half in grand form. Would you please tell us what will drive sort of the margin up again in the second half? And secondly, a question related to Sonofon, please. Could you talk a bit about the trends you've seen in the Danish market in Q2? You talk about lower marketing because of acquisition costs. Has Sonofon lowered their answer subsidies in Q2? And also you mentioned that Sonofon is well on the way towards its full-year targets. Would you be so kind as to restate those targets for us, please? Thank you.
Yeah, if I may take the Sonofon question first. The situation in Sonofon is that we have been able to concentrate our marketing efforts much better and to focus them in this quarter. This is not something that happens in this quarter alone, of course. This is preparatory work that has been going on through both fourth quarter and first quarter. And we're seeing results of this work now. We have been able to migrate customers to more profitable calling plans. We have been able to stabilize the customer base a lot more, seeing also the churn rate going down. And this is all in all positive for the Sonofon performance in this quarter.
Sure.
As for the targets that we've set for the year, these were spelled out as our Capital Markets Day information and can sort of be summarized as follows. We have a clean number 2 position as a
market position as our target, and we also target a solid 20% plus EBITDA margin for the year as such.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Sheena in JP Morgan, please.
Thank you. My first question was just on acquisitions. Following the acquisition of CyberCity and Breadband, just wondering what else may be on the agenda, in particular in the Nordic markets, what else you would consider there. The second question I have was just on cash returns. You've already suggested that you will continue with your buyback. I'm just wondering what would prevent you from completing or attaining that 10% buyback of shares by May next year. And the third question is that there seems to be a pickup in number of unbundled loops in Norway and a slight fall in your retail market share in this second quarter versus the first quarter. I'm just wondering what's been happening in that particular market.
So will you comment from the share buyback as well as the structural question? Yeah, on the share buyback, we have as a policy not to give very specific figures on how much and the timing of this. But if you look at what we have done in the past, you will see that there is a pattern, and that we are going to follow. We are following the same line of thinking as we had in the past, and you should expect that to continue. And as I said, the recent acquisitions is not of a size that really impacts the amount we are going to buy back in the second half. When it comes to possible further acquisitions, I can only talk about that in general terms. We have a very conservative and strict acquisition policy. We are looking at opportunities within the framework of our strategy. But as you have noticed, we have in the past 2 years been able to conclude only very few acquisitions. You should expect us to continue that line of conservative attitudes when it comes to acquisitions, but at the same time looking for good investment opportunities. I cannot be more specific than that.
Maybe I can phrase my question a different way. Is there a strategy to have, say, a pan-Nordic mobile presence in the sense of having a network in all of the Nordic markets, for example?
Of course, that would be nice if it was possible to do that at prices that would be beneficial to our shareholders. In the past, that has not been the case. But if that should turn out to be the case, it might happen. Today it's more theory than reality.
And as for the needs of a pan-Nordic service offering to corporate sector, we already have that facility at hand through our MDNO agreement, as well as with other relationships. As for the third part of your question, that focused on local loop unbundled part of the ADSL market in Norway. If you look at page 15 in the quarterly report, you will see a panel showing the local loop unbundled numbers. And as you can see from that panel, that there has been a fairly steady growth in local loop unbundled connections. This is only natural when there is a growth element in the market for the time being, the way it is. So I think there is a fair balance between local loops unbundled and retail offerings from Telenor in this table. Then it's also worth mentioning that the wholesale concept is fairly stable, which means that for other competitive operators in Norway, the local loop unbundled concept seems more attractive than the wholesale concept.
I guess what I was trying to ask is really why is your retail ADSL subscription net add coming at 25,000 in Q2 compared to something like 50,000 in Q1?
But this goes in a little bit of steps. I mean, this is all what competition is about. There will be periods where some competitors have an initiative and an offering which in some areas seems attractive, and there is a response in the next period. And this has been sort of part of the picture for a number of quarters already. And it might be that we in one period have somewhat slower speed than others, and then this is being adjusted. This is all about what competition is about.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Mr. Bluestone in the company HSBC, please.
Oh, hi there, Jacob Bluestone here. I just noticed the year-on-year decline in the Norwegian mobile business EBITDA margin. It was a bit bigger than in Q1, and I was just wondering, do you feel that competition is picking up there? Thanks.
Competition picking up. There is competition in the mobile market. There has been. There is, and there will be. And competition circles about customer bases, both prepaid and postpaid, as well as segmental type of offerings, which are targeting specific user groups. And this results in a running price pressure, which has been handled the way it has in this quarter, and resulted in the EBITDA margin, which is fairly much in level with the previous quarters that we've recorded.
But there wasn't anything particular to Q2 versus Q1?
No, nothing particular in the marketplace. But on the structural side, of course, the Telia Sonera offering for ChessSense might have a longer-term effect in the market with some impact of it.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Tosend in company Brian Gornier, please.
Yes, good morning, and thank you. Two questions, if I may, please. The first is simply looking at TSL's ARPUs. How many extra days holidays were there in the first quarter versus the second? And I believe that affected VimpelCom as well. And the second question is associated with talk that there's been about diversifying or getting rid of VimpelCom should you not come to an agreement with the Alpha Group. That strikes me as rather difficult, given all the massive potential growth to come from Russia. But in the environment that it should happen, where else would you look, and how would you cope with micro-ARPU environments? Would you go to Africa, for example? Thank you.
There's only a general answer to that. ARPU level in developing countries. We have a long experience with that. There is always a first segment in such markets that have willingness to pay, are willing to use, and will have high ARPU. And this element is at hand for both Kyivstar in Ukraine, as well as it is in Grameen in Bangladesh. Then there are other segments which, of course, in the initial phases are low users. But that doesn't take out the benefit of increasing the customer base. On the contrary, we have proved over many quarters that low ARPU environments are as profitable as other environments, for that matter, compared to the Nordics, for example. So this is all about building customer bases, building an established dependency on modern communication systems. And if we do that, we have this fundamental belief that mobile infrastructure is a great benefit to the general economic development of these countries, as it's proven basically all around the world. That doesn't necessarily take us into other continents immediately. We are where we are, and we're looking at opportunities that we feel is a fit with the operation that we have for the time being.
Thank you for that. And the question over the holidays in the Ukraine?
As for the first quarter, you mean?
Yes, please.
Well, the Christmas period in Ukraine comes in January every year, and we have seen a seasonal effect of that. It was like that in first quarter of 2004, and it was so in 2005. And with penetration being doubled through the year, there are sort of new effects of that coming in next year. And I think we have to expect such a change also in 2006. Because then presentation will probably have reached a much higher figure. And it is a little bit difficult to, on beforehand, forecasting exactly how the new segment will use their mobile phone in the next Christmas period.
Fine, thank you so much.
Next, Mr. Garashi in Power International.
Good morning. A couple of questions, please, on the voice over IP migration. Can you please give us more details? And I'd like to try to understand, maybe I'm asking a very simple question. What do you mean by increase in voice over IP customers in your slide where you show the decreasing line in retail lines? Just want to try to understand how you're selling the voice over IP services and how the business model is going to change in your view. It's more of a general question. It gets you maybe losing traffic revenues and swapping them for DSL connection. What is it, the voice over IP service as such, and how you make money out of it, please?
Well, this is a very wide topic, but
I'm asking you because you are one of the companies that have more advanced in the subject.
Yeah. The position that we have taken here is, of course, that when the broadband population, the broadband part of the market increases, then also the market's ability to move to voice over IP increases. And in this quarter, we have highlighted that up to 90,000 online connected, according to our estimates, have included voice over IP with a number associated. I'm not counting about Skype, possibly Skype users without a specific number, but I'm talking about those that migrate their number from PSTN, ISDN to voice over IP. And since this population now has grown to 90,000, this broadly represents 5% of the marketplace, which means that this feature becomes more important. The business model that we offer in this respect is that we also offer a do-it-yourself voice over IP package, which takes and migrates the customer from its existing PSTN ISDN connection to a voice over IP connection. And through this offering, we will of course also compete for this kind of service layer on top of the access going forward.
And if I may follow up, you mentioned Skype, which, you know, it's a free service for peer-to-peer and very, very cheap and almost free for computers with PSTN lines. So if I have a DSL line, I just end up paying that and virtually 90% free calls. What advantage would I have as a customer to subscribe to a, let's call it a non-Skype voice over IP service provided by any of the other, yourself or any other telco operator? I guess what I'm trying to say, are we moving to a model where all traffic revenues disappear and all we're doing is trying to make money on the DSL access plus triple play, video, etc., etc., but are we seeing voice revenue going to zero, traffic revenue going to zero?
Well, this migration generally will urge a pressure on fixed line revenues, and we've expressed that as a 2 to 2.5% negative growth rate in the first half year. On the other side, there is a growth element of voice over IP services, which generally enables the customer enjoying this service to use his phone in the same way as he did for the PSTN ISDN service, rather than having to go to the PC in the way you have to with the Skype service as it presently runs. I think that will be sort of our comments on at this topic for today.
Thank you very much.
Next, Mr. Mollerud, Evoli Bank.
Yes, it's a question regarding the fixed operation in Sweden. I just wonder, given that Telenor is having a 37% holding in Glokonet with roughly 500,000 subscriber base, they have recently signed an agreement with Ventelo to buy fixed capacity, which would represent roughly 400 some million kroner on an annual basis. What are your plans, and do you aiming to take any measures in order to keep up your revenues in Sweden on the fixed line if you lose this contract?
I think I will revert that question to Mr. Morten Carlsen Sherby, who is also present and responsible for the Nordic activities. Morten, for this?
It's correct that Glocknet has entered into an agreement with Ventelo on fixed telephony services. We proposed what we think was a very good offer to Glocknet. They decided to go with Ventelo. I think the major impact for us is the loss of revenue, but it will not have any material impact on our profit and loss development in Sweden.
Next one is Kim Henley in the company Causeway.
Hi, this is Kim Henning calling from Causeway. I have three questions for you. The first is regarding a follow-on to the question about mobile ARPUs. And you mentioned that you have ARPUs in Pakistan of $3 now. So at 20 Norwegian kroner, that's less than half of what you see in Bangladesh and Ukraine. So my question is, where do you think ARPUs in Pakistan can go? The follow-on to that is about CapEx. I noticed that you had a revision to the Pakistani license agreement. So I'm wondering if that revision that showed up this quarter is a one-off, or if there is further guidance that you can give us on how much we should be expecting for CapEx in Pakistan going forward. And then the last question is related to cost, related to the fixed line business. For the past 2 years in Telenor's fixed business, both revenues and EBITDA have fallen, yet EBITDA margins have risen to some degree. You're also guiding this year that revenues and EBITDA will fall, but you're also going to be implementing further cost cutting. So should we expect a similar improvement in EBITDA margin in the fixed business?
The first question was about Pakistan. The ARPU differences in Pakistan versus Bangladesh, for example, has to be viewed on the background that in Bangladesh we have a significant postpaid customer base being the market leader. This is not the case in Pakistan, obviously, and it takes time to build a postpaid customer base in that kind of market when you are the number five entrant to the market. Longer term, though, we do expect that ARPU will rise, but it will take time before ARPU increases when you enter a market in the way we have done in Pakistan. But it doesn't take and change, that it doesn't impact, for the time being as we see it, the longer term ambitions in Pakistan, and we stand behind the statement that we've given on when the Pakistani operation will be cash flow positive and breakdown and having a positive situation, as we said in our couple of marketplace. As for fixed, the revenue pressure that we have given some figures up on as of today will, of course, balance with our ability to extract costs under the program that we will exercise in the periods ahead of us. We are targeting to maintain the margin level in the periods to come. It might, of course, be that some periods will go up and some periods will go down in that respect, but the longer-term balance of the margin level is to maintain it in rough terms where it stands for the time being.
Okay, that, I think, was the last of the questions, and that also will conclude the Q&A session. The few questions I got from you on the Internet will be dealt with in writing. Thank you all for attending.